Hey everyone, this is Keith Baker. I am the host of the Dancing with Cancer podcast, where we talk about how to live an upbeat, joyful life in the middle of the cancer storm. Let's go. Hey everyone, this is Keith Baker with the episode 4 of the Dancing with Cancer podcast. And before we get into today's topics and the things I wanted to talk to today, I just wanted to take a minute to talk to everyone. Episode 1, I talked about the actual diagnosis that I had. Episode 2, we gave an update and then talked about trying to be intentional about what we focus on and what we think about, those kinds of things. Episode 3, we talked more about the joy of the Lord and how this joy can change you and be the fuel that gets you through the dark times. But in big, broad, general terms, my personality, my outlook on life tends to be very upbeat, very positive, that kind of thing. And I just want to be real careful that my upbeat, maybe even goofy attitudes towards cancer and or some of the things I'm going through and life in general doesn't ever come off as I'm minimizing what you're going through. I recognize that anybody and everybody that is dealing with cancer or any serious illness or any serious issue, whether it be financial, marital, physical, mental, any of those kinds of things, those things are serious and they're real. And so while at times I am intentionally trying to encourage people, I am intentionally being upbeat, please don't ever interpret that to mean that I am somehow minimizing what you're going through or that what you're going through isn't real, or somehow I feel like, those kinds of things. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there, that the pain is real. The physical illness is real. The death is real. The struggles, the storms, the darkness that we sometimes go through are real. And so please don't ever interpret my upbeat, joyful, sometimes goofy response to minimize that or to downplay that. We love you guys. Today we wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, give you an update of where I'm at. We had a prescription for Jakafi. It is a JAK2 inhibitor. The initial challenge was to work out the finances. So we did. I think we reported last time that the insurance paid the initial portion. There was a $5,000 balance per dose to be paid. We did find a assistance program that was going to take care of that. They assured us that we would have no copay and no deductible. And so we're good to go until December 31st, or that's what we've been told. And so we got the first dose of Jakafi. We've taken it with remarkable results. Very happy with the initial first week and a half of Jakafi. To be clear, Jakafi is a medication to shrink my spleen, which is good for my health, and then also to treat a lot of the symptoms that I'm dealing with because of the cancer. It does not cure the cancer, right? The only cure for myelofibrosis is a stem cell or bone marrow transplant. And that may be an option down the road, maybe something we look at down the road, but because of the serious nature of that process. And again, that process would entail 30 days in the hospital and probably another 70 to 100 days in a treatment center close to the hospital. So we're talking a serious, serious major step if we went down that path. So that's something we'll look at in the future. But for now, we're taking the Jakafi. We're seeing good results. Because of the cost of the medication, you only get 15 days with each shipment, and they ship it directly to you. So therefore, I have to reorder every 2 weeks. I go to reorder the second dose, and I'm told that I owe $600. Right? So here we go again. We have to figure out the financing. We talk it over with them. We say, hey, we were told 2 weeks ago, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the bottom line is that the assistance program is good till December 31st, up to a certain dollar amount. And evidently we used $5,000 the first 15 days and another $4,500 or $4,400 for the second 15-day dose. And that expired the $9,400 that the assistance program assisted with. Of course, they failed to tell us that going in. So we are now scrambling to try to find assistance again. I'm actually a few days behind on getting the medication because of that. Again, it's just for many of you who have dealt with a lot of medications, especially the more expensive stuff, it's just bizarre the way things are set up. For example, with the Jakafee, you only get 15 days at a time, but you can't even reorder until, I don't know, 3 to 4 days before you're due to take your next dosage until you run out. And so then you've got 3 to 4 days to get it ordered, shipped, and then go on with it. And so anyways, that's where we're at. Appreciate your prayers and concerns for that. I'm sure we'll work out something one way or the other. But right as of right now, they're saying I owe $600. Obviously, I can't pay $600 every 2 weeks. I mean, reality is what it is. So we're kind of working through the details of that. I'm sure we'll get that figured out shortly. But again, I would appreciate your prayers concerning that, and we will continue to figure things out. Hey guys, so the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit today is, so we've been in this journey for a few months now, and if I'm being just judgment day honest with everyone, the biggest challenge, not the biggest challenge, this whole process, this whole cancer thing, if I'm just being straight up with everyone, it has been 3 times harder for Kathy than it has been for me. Now, don't get me wrong. I got cancer and I'm dying. And yeah, you got to deal with those things. And I'm the one with the illness, if you will. And I think sometimes, you know, I've experienced just like an amazing amount of outpouring of love from family and friends and support and love. And people just say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. What can I do? Those kinds of things. And I'm so thankful for everyone out there and your support and your love. I mean, I cannot put into words how grateful I am for that. But I think sometimes when these things come up, you know, we think, oh, Keith got cancer. Oh, I can't believe it. You know, and a lot of the encouragement is pointed towards Keith because Keith has cancer. And I get that. And that's real. But I think sometimes we lose sight of maybe the spouse of the person who has cancer or the parents of the person who has cancer and what they may be going through. And so I just want to talk about that for a few minutes today, that yes, cancer's real and I've got to deal with it. I've got to process it and I've got to figure life out going forward. But the fact of the matter is, Kathy and I, you know, scripture teaches that when you become married, the two become one flesh. I believe that's a real thing, that what impacts me impacts her. And what impacts her impacts me, and you can't separate the two. And the news, the diagnosis, the treatments, the everything, the finances, it wreaks havoc on the marriage itself. And so because, you know, let's be honest, every marriage on some level is difficult to make it happen, to be successful in marriage. So come this December, we will be celebrating 45 years together. Yeah, can you believe that? Kathy has put up with me for 45 years. Holy cow. She is a saint, to be sure. And if I'm being honest with you, our marriage, hands down, would not have made it 45 years. I'm just being honest, without God. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It would not have survived without God being in our marriage. Why? There's just so many reasons. It's so many reasons. When you are a believer, it changes everything about you. And it changes everything about your spouse. Let's throw this out in several different ways. First of all, there's the, if I'm here and Kathy's here, right? As we grow closer to God, you can't see it. As we grow closer to God, as we strive to grow closer to God, we actually become closer to each other, right? As we grow in our faith as individuals, and as we become more like Jesus as individuals, we become more like each other, right? As we better understand Scripture and become more focused on love and patience and caring, as we experience more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, all those kinds of things, those all contribute to a better, healthier, happier marriage. Now, we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now, I'm not talking about like an audible voice, right? It's not like I hear, Keith, you screwed up again, you know, from the sky. I don't hear audible voices. It's an internal thing. But we believe that the Holy Spirit nudges you at times, encourages you at times, and will even speak to you at times. Many times the Holy Spirit will use songs or scriptures to nudge you a certain direction or to emphasize something. Sometimes there's something that you just can't get out of your mind, a thought, a concept, an idea. Oftentimes that's the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention, trying to help you and the thing. Scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. You can't ask God for wisdom and not expect to get wisdom back, right? And so how does God give us wisdom? He gives it through Scripture, obviously. He gives it to our friends, other Christians, other believers, through our teachers, Sunday school teachers, preachers, and through life experience. But the main way he gives it through is the Holy Spirit. So oftentimes it's the Holy Spirit speaking through the sermon. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through the Sunday school teacher. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through life experiences. It's the Holy Spirit nudging you a lot of times. And I would go so far as to say that there have been so many times when Kathy and I will be having a discussion about something and an animated discussion about something. And even in the midst of the argument, even in the midst of the turmoil, the Holy Spirit will convict me. I'll feel a nudge like, oh, wow. What you just said, Keith, you may have been right in what you said, but you were harsh in the way you said it. And even in the heat of the moment, there are times when the Holy Spirit will check me and I'll have to slow down, back up, okay? Now, you know, we're all human, right? And sometimes in the heat of the moment, it's hard to allow the Holy Spirit to change the course of the conversation. Hopefully, as we get older, we get better at that. We get more in tune with God's Spirit. It's kind of like, for those of us who are older, the old school radio stations, you used to have to turn knob and the dial would slide to the left and right. And when you started to hear the radio station, you could hear it, but it's fuzzy and kind of like, you know, there's static there. And so you would adjust it just a little bit more to tune it in to get it fine-tuned to the exact place where now the radio station's coming through clear and there's no static, no distraction. You can hear the radio station clear. The Holy Spirit's like that in a lot of ways, that God's voice, God will never force you to do anything, but he will speak to us. Oftentimes scripture says in a still small voice, and his voice, we don't have to listen to it if we don't want to. I mean, seriously, we can't ignore God's Holy Spirit. Now, I don't advise it. It's not a good idea, but we all do it at times. And I've done it too many times. So even in the marriage experience, there are times when God's Holy Spirit will speak to us, even in the heat of the moment during an argument. Or many times, because we're human, we get caught up in the heat of the moment, but then 30 minutes later, you know, after the argument, after the discussion is over, and things start to settle down a little bit, then God starts speaking to your heart and starts saying, hey, you know, you really didn't handle that the best way. You know, there's some things you could have done differently or should have done differently. You know, are you overreacting to this? Are you being oversensitive to this? And why is this such a touchy subject for you? And he starts probing into different areas of your life. And so if you're a believer who truly wants to have God in every area of your life, 100%, it doesn't just change who you are, but it changes your marriage. And again, so what I'm saying is my marriage would not have survived without my understanding of scriptures. It would not have survived without me trying my best to live according to scriptures, but also according to the Holy Spirit's leadings and allowing the Holy Spirit to correct me midstream, or at least to correct me so that I could go back to Kathy sometime 30 minutes later, an hour later, day later, and apologize. And say, Kat, listen, I love you. We don't see eye to eye on this issue, but I was wrong in the way I approached it, or I was wrong in the way I said this, or I'm sorry I lost my temper and just blew up. It wasn't fair. And likewise, she's done the same in response a lot of times. And those things are required to have a healthy, successful marriage. Now, I'll go one step farther, okay? The Bible also teaches, now I'm talking to the men right now, okay? To the men only. Ladies, don't listen. You're not allowed to listen to this part. To the men, Scripture tells us, husbands, you are to love your wives as Christ loves the church. Now, there's a lot of discussion about the Bible when it comes to marriage and marriage relationships and men and women and the roles and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not going to go down that road completely today, but there is one thing I want to emphasize to every one of my brothers and sisters out there. Nope, I'm sorry. To every one of my brothers out there. Scripture is clear on this item. If you are married, it is your obligation to love your spouse, your husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How in the world do we love our spouse, our wives, the way that Christ loved the church? He died for the church, right? He literally washed Judas's feet, knowing that Judas was going to betray him. We must love our wives. We must be willing to wash our wives' feet, even if we think they're going to betray us. Think about that. Soak that in for a minute. Now I know there are some abuse situations that have to be dealt with, but in big, broad, general terms, men, we have failed in this. Now let me go one step farther. You cannot love your wife as Christ loved the church without the empowering of the Holy Spirit, without God's help, right? We are all human, and we live in a broken world. And by nature, every one of us are selfish by nature. It is what it is. It is human nature. And it's only when we submit our lives to God and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and start transforming us that He creates, we become a new creation. We literally become a new creation. And so when Scripture talks about the two becoming one flesh, that's a real thing. But I think it is a thing that happens over time. And it requires both parties to be on board. And it works best when both parties are believers. And because both parties then have the Holy Spirit working, the Holy Spirit working on each of us as individuals, but also on the marriage as a unit. And so the same thing applies for marriages going through cancer. The challenge is marriages going through cancer have an extra layer of crap to deal with. Sorry, am I allowed to say that? It's my podcast. I can say what I want. Marriages going through cancer have an extra layer of stuff to deal with because initially, right, you have a diagnosis of cancer and then you start worrying about that. Worry causes stress. Stress causes us to be short with each other, right? For a lot of us, right? So there's that. Almost from day one, cancer requires more doctor's appointments. It requires medicine. It requires more money. The number one cause of divorce in America is finances. So, and cancer, medical issues hit the pocketbook in a huge way, a huge way. So right out the gate, you've got the stress of, am I going to die? What kind of future do I have? How's this going to change my lifestyle? And then you've got the financial stuff thrown on top. Most marriages, opposites attract. And so oftentimes the knee-jerk reactions that I have are going to be the opposite of the knee-jerk reactions of my spouse. And so then you got to work through that, navigate that, how maybe automatically I think, well, this is automatically the way we should go. And she's thinking, no, well, automatically we should go the other way. And so you got to work through those things. So the challenges that every marriage struggles with is magnified when cancer comes into the picture because of the increased level of stress, because the increased financial issues, because of just everything. It changes everything. But again, if I can be honest and blunt, God is in that too. God does not abandon us to fight these battles on our own. He is with us every step of the way. Kathy and I are closer today than we were 6 months ago. Hands down, we are closer today than we were 6 months ago. Yes, it's difficult at times. No, we don't always agree on what the best path forward is. And both of us are trying to be intentional about taking an extra breath before we say things, being extra patient with each other, both directions. Because we're both aware of the stress that the other one's under. We're both aware of the challenges that we both are trying to deal with. And we're intentionally trying to do this together as one. Yes, marriage is an amazing, super great thing. If I had to deal with this by myself, it'd just be so bad. It'd be so bad. Yeah, anyway, it would be bad. Kathy is my rock. She is the one that gives me structure, and you know, I'd probably forget the medicine half the time. I'd be taking the pills like every other day or something stupid where I'm supposed to take it twice a day kind of thing. And that's just, it is what it is. My personality is different. I'm wired differently. I fly by the seat of my pants a lot, and that kind of stuff. Kathy is very much by the book. There's a proper way of doing everything. There's a notebook. She writes down things. She's a detail person in that regard. We need each other, and it works because we have each other. But the marriage works because God is in it. And it would not have survived if God was not in it. And it will continue to survive because God will continue to carry us when we cannot walk the path on our own. Anyways, it is good to see everyone again today. Hopefully something I said will encourage you. If you are in a marriage situation, I'm sorry, in a medical situation similar to what I'm in, and you feel the extra stress, turn to God, give it to God, run and jump into his arms and allow him to hold you and carry you during those difficult times. And if you don't know God, again, please contact me. I would love to talk to you and share my experiences with you. Maybe you're good with that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're open to that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just curious about how it works or what it looks like and what about all the rules and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, it is the best thing that ever happened to me, and it is what gives me the joy and the happiness and the peace to be able to deal with the crazy world that I'm in right now. So I love you guys. Thanks for joining in, and we'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, thanks to everyone for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, please hit the like button. Also, please slam that subscribe button to ensure that you don't miss on any future episodes. Lastly, if you know someone who needs encouragement or who is going through a difficult time, please share this with them. More than anything else, we want to share this joy and hope that we have with as many people as possible. And we'd love to have others join the Dancing with Cancer family. Until next time, adios.